Thursday Night Tailgate, where the spotlight is always on the positive. Tune in Thursday night from 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time to hear your favorite NFL legends, players, and coaches sharing their stories. Now back to Chris and Bob.
I wouldn't joke about anything else that happened to you tonight.
And now joining us here on Thursday Night Tailgate is former heavyweight contender Jerry Cooney. Let me give you a little background on Jerry. He's from Long Island. He was a two-time New York Golden Gloves champion. He had an amazing rise through the heavyweight ranks. He knocked out legends like Jimmy Young, Ron Lyle, and Ken Norton. Fought for the title against Larry Holmes. Also fought George Foreman during both of their comebacks. And Foreman said he was one of the three hardest punchers that he ever faced. Overall, Jerry's record was 28-3 with 24 knockouts. He's written a new book titled Gentleman Jerry, A Contender in the Ring, A Champion in Recovery. And we are very honored he is with us tonight here on Thursday Night Tailgate. Hey, Jerry, Chris and Bob here. Thanks for coming on the show.
Hey, Jer.
Hey, Chris and Bob. Great to be on with you guys. Listen, when I heard Dallas is going to become America's team again, what the hell is going on here?
That's Tony.
The real problem,
you got to let Tony call it. Sometimes, Tony, we wonder.
Well, let me tell you something. I happen to be a Jet fan. I didn't hear you guys talk about the Jets tonight, though. What's that about?
Well, I'll tell you, tonight. But, for us on our five-star picks of the week, Jerry, you got to have a winning record and have a game that still matters in the playoffs. So we hope you Jets get there someday. Just not there this day.
I'm just teasing. And I'm also a Knicks fan. How do you like that?
Oh, my goodness. You're a long-suffering guy. You poor man. I'm sorry.
I'm not kidding. I got to go back to therapy.
Jerry, when I take a look at your book, and it's a wonderful read, you talk an awful lot about being a survivor in your book. And for you, it started very early, very young, when you were just a kid. It started to rip my heart out from the opening pages. Reading about some of the things that you went through, that you had to deal with. Talk about what it was like growing up in the household that you did.
Well, I grew up in a household where everyone had a hiding place. My father was a raging alcoholic and very physical and abusive, and told us things like, you're never going to amount to anything. Don't trust nobody. Don't tell nobody your business. It was a really frightening place to grow up as a kid, but I didn't have anything to bounce off of. So when you grow up in a household like that, you keep it to yourself. You don't have the courage to tell a teacher or go to the principal and tell to the principal. So you just put up with it. And that's what happened to me growing up. And what happened to me was, my brother left the home at 15, and he started going to, a couple of years later, he started going to a gym, and I used to follow him to the gym. And, I got to watch him boxing at the Huntington YMCA. And then I put the gloves on. I liked it. And so boxing was a way for me to express my anger for where I came from. And then they put my picture in the paper. After every fight, it seems like in the Golden Gloves in Madison Square Garden, I was on the back page of the Daily News. And it made me somebody. And so it helped me feed my anger, take care of my anger. And it may be somebody. So that's how I came to boxing. And I didn't have a lot of opportunity. I didn't have any opportunity. Boxing was my only opportunity. And I was a good puncher. And I liked the game. I knew once the bell rang, I had to fight. I didn't have a lot of self-confidence growing up in a household like that. But once the bell rang, I had to fight.
And so, Jerry, was boxing a way for you to live out your father's dream and to maybe get him to be proud of you? Or was it a defense mechanism to protect yourself from the wrath and the things that he used to do to you?
Well, it got me out of the house three nights a week. And I'm sure there was some part of it that I was looking for him to pat me on the back and tell me that I'm okay. And he loves me. That didn't really happen. And, he supported me, came to the fights, watched the fights, and it was a difficult atmosphere for all my whole family, my three other brothers, that to grow up in a household like that where you didn't go out and play with your friends. You had to pull the weeds. You had to plant in the garden. You had to paint the house. You had to do the plumbing. That's what we were faced with every day. But listen, that all being said, you know, from that kid getting into the ring and climbing up to be ranked number one in the world is amazing by any standard. And I made it that way. And somebody once told me, said, you know, no matter what your father did to you, he instilled something in you to make you get to the top. And so it helped me make peace somewhat. And I did a pretty good job, even though I kind of, in 19, you talked about some of those fights. I mean, Jimmy Young, I was in the best shape of my life. Ron Lyle, I was in the best shape of my life. When I fought Norton, I probably could have beat anybody in the world that night. And I knocked him out one round. And that was the night that my career ended because I started drinking heavily. And I don't know if it was the fear of becoming somebody or getting the attention or not having the confidence, but it took me down.
And Jerry, as you mentioned those guys, right? I mean, the guys that you beat coming up through the sport to get to be number one, you mentioned Jimmy Young. That's a guy who beat George Foreman. That's a guy who went the distance with Ali. Ron Lyle was a brutal puncher. And then Ken Norton, obviously a former heavyweight champion. You know, what do you remember about getting in the ring with those guys? What was going through your mind as you're stepping into the ring waiting for the bell to face those guys?
These guys are going to kill me. I'm dead tonight. I'm going to be dead. But I knew that I was in shape. I was in pretty good shape. And once the bell rang, I knew I had to fight. Now, I want to tell you something to back up a little bit. Don King owned everybody except Jerry Cooney. So he was not going to give me those guys I needed coming up to gain the experience and to give me the distance in rounds so I would have the ability to beat a Larry Holmes. Larry Holmes even stated that had I fought Mike Weaver before him, I probably could have beat him. Now, that was very nice of Holmes to say that. And listen, he was one of the all-time greatest heavyweights of all time, and I got to go 13 rounds with him. So at the end of the day, I did pretty good. I saved my money. I knew that it was going to be a rainy day. I wasn't a spender, and I was able to get out of that hole and get on my life.
Bob, questions for Jerry?
Jerry, it's a pleasure to speak with you. I want to thank you for all the memories. You know, here I am, hit from the East Coast, and I went to school in New York late 70s and early 80s, and of course it was a hotbed for boxing, and just being in the city at that time, you were in the headlines a lot, and I just love following it every day. And just to go back when you were a kid, Jerry, I mean, from what you say, you weren't able to leave the house that often. I was just wondering, you know, we talked to so many people from other sports that played other sports to get to where they were. Did you try to play football, baseball, before boxing became the thing?
Well, I wrestled. I used to love to wrestle. I wrestled since junior high school, which was great. And then I played football, but as I used to travel to the bus station, the bus stop in the morning, I'd have two sets of gloves, and I would box everybody at the bus stop. That's how I started fighting, so I used wrestling as a way to keep myself busy until boxing came along, and the same with football. But see, I was kind of like a growing up in the household, I couldn't depend on a team. I didn't trust the team, so boxing for me was the sport for me because I had to depend upon myself. And that's how I became a fighter. I was asked before, I saw Muhammad Ali fight Joe Frazier, and I thought to myself that night, I got to be a fighter. I got to be a fighter. And I wanted to go as far as I could go. And I signed with these two guys, Rapport and Jones, who weren't the greatest guys to me, but they had Howard Davis, who was the Olympic gold medal winner, and I figured I could be showcased on all his cars. He signed a $2.5 million contract with CBS or NBC or somebody, and if I signed with these guys, I got to fight on all his cars. So that was one of the reasons why I turned with them. Looking back on it, I wish I hadn't. I wish I would have signed with somebody else, but like I said, my father just died. My mother knew nothing about contracts, and I had to find my own way. I had a friend of mine that was 15 years older than me, and he would take me around to these different meetings until I found Rapoport and Jones.
And Jerry, I, you know, being in New York and you having been from New York, when you fought at MSG in the Fell Forum, I think almost 10 times, and I remember when I first started college, you had a couple fights at the Westchester County Center, and then, of course,
wow,
at the Nassau Coliseum, Ron Lyle. I mean, for a kid in New York to fight in these places, that had to be kind of a dream and very emotional just when it happened.
You know, I got to tell you something. I fought all my amateur fights in the Felt Forum inside of Madison Square Garden, and there was a lot of people still working there. And remember, we remember each other from the old days, and we still hug and say hello to each other. So it was a great experience being from New York, being in Madison Square. I remember fighting Kenny Norton and walking past Penn Station to see Jerry Cooney versus Ken Norton tonight. And wow, you know, it was really a pretty phenomenal thing. I was making a great payday, and I was getting to fulfill my dream. And, you know, little did I know that night that it was probably the end of my career because I started to drink heavily. I don't know whether it was because of fear or low self-esteem or, self-sabotage, but I kind of threw it away that night. And I hope in my life, in my book, like there's a happy ending. You know, in April 21st, 1988, I put down alcohol. I straightened out my life. I'm back in the game. I have a gym today. I'm on the radio. I'm on Sirius XM, channel 156 every Monday, every Friday from 6 to 8 p.m. I have a movie in the works about my life. So, you know, I keep myself fighting. I keep out there. I work with kids today. I tell them, listen, I know you want to play basketball. You want to play football. But if you don't make it, you have to have some things to fall back on. And that's been my experience all my life.
Jerry, going back to your fight against Larry Holmes, was it what you expected with respect to the hype machine around it, or did things get crazier than you anticipated?
You know, it became this very big, ugly vacuum. And, you know, Don King created this black-white thing and racism, and it was a horror show. But the only thing, Doug, I need to tell you that, being from Long Island, I had 5 or 6 guys I grew up with, and they would come to my camp. And we weren't thinking about racism or trouble. I was eating lobster tails and eating turtle soup. And I was hanging around 5 or 6 of my friends in the training camp, getting a chance to fight for the heavyweight championship of the world. I had no thought of racism or anything like that, what was going on outside. And you know, Holmes was very angry with me. And so I really was angry with him, and I couldn't wait to hit him on the chin that night. And we get to the center of the ring, and Larry Holmes and I are in the center of the ring, and Mills Lane gives us our instructions, and Larry Holmes looks at me and says, "Hey, let's have a good fight." I said, "What? You're so angry with me, and now you're telling me to have a good fight." All the anger evaporated, and I went out into a great fight. We went 13 rounds. And one mistake I made, lack of experience, I was trying to go the distance instead of just fighting my fight. I wanted to get to your ribs. I wanted to break your ribs. I wanted to hit you on the jaw. I was trying to box him that night, and he was the master boxer. And it was 115 degrees, and I got tired, and I got stopped in the 13th round, and that's all she said. Today, Larry Holmes and I are greatest friends in the world. I love that guy. We travel all through the year. We're together a lot of his house. He comes to my affairs, and that's what happened. You know, we fought each other tooth and nail. And, even though, you know, I got 2 kids in college. I'm trying to get one more payday. I'm trying to get him to make a comeback.
And I tell you, Jerry, you know, if it weren't for a couple of point deductions from what I've read about the fight now looking back on it, I mean, a couple of the judges had you ahead in the fight going into those late rounds. And it was such a great fight. And boxing loves rematches and trilogies. Why wasn't there a rematch?
You know what? I don't know for the life of me why there wasn't a rematch. I would have taken a rematch the next day. I mean, I was really in that fight. It was a close fight. And, you know, today they have privileges all the time. Back then, we never did it again. I don't know why. It didn't make sense to me. But, hey, listen, it is what it is. I would love to fight him, would have loved to have fought him again. I went on, fought Michael Spinks, George Foreman. I was pretty sick that time when I fought Michael Spinks. Michael Spinks didn't belong in the ring with me any time if I was in shape and I was a healthy guy. I was sick, struggling from alcoholism, and I never got in shape, and I got stopped that night. And then, you know, obviously, I made a comeback after I got sober, after a year, to fight George Foreman. I was promoting some of his fights. And I said, this is great. I never did it well conditioned. I got in shape, and unfortunately, I got hit with a shot. But I answered a lot of questions. It helped me to turn the page on my life and get going in this great life. I got a beautiful family, 3 great kids, a beautiful wife. And I'm on Sirius Radio. I have a gift of, you know, God's looking out for me.
And Jerry, to your point of coming back and getting an opportunity to get in there with George Foreman, and he said you were one of the hardest punchers, one of the 3 hardest punchers he ever faced over the course of his career. I'm curious to get your thoughts. What was it like getting back in the ring against Big George?
Well, you know, you heard what he said. I wish I could get out there and get with you 2 guys right now. Show you some of that power. Listen, listen, I got, clean. I stopped drinking. I stopped taking care of myself. I was promoting Roberto Duran. I don't know if you guys know this, but I was promoting Duran when he beat Davey Moore. I promoted his fight with Ray Leonard and also George Foreman during his comeback. And one night we were away someplace and he said, Jerry, why don't you and I fight? So I said to myself, well, I'm retired. I said, but you know what? I never did this sober. I never was in good shape. I was going to make a lot of money. So I took the fight. And I got in shape, and I felt great. And, you know, I got caught with a shot. But during that fight, Bill Clancy told me to move for 6, 7, 8 rounds. Don't get caught into the firefight. But in that early round, I caught Foreman with a great body shot. And I hit him on the chin, and I saw him. And so, as being a puncher, I went after him. And because I hadn't been fighting regularly, I got caught with a shot. And so, I had to turn the page and get on with my life and do something else. And life has been great ever since. I travel the world. I meet great people. I help people every day of my life. And I got great friends.
Well, Jerry, before we let you go, and you've talked about it a couple of times here, but you've got your own show now on SiriusXM and obviously the book coming out. Let our listeners know, how can they get a copy of your book and how can they stay up to date with all the great things you're doing on your show and follow you over social media?
Well, I mean, I'm on Jerry Cooney on Instagram. I'm on, my book's being sold, Jerry Cooney, a Contender and a Champion in Recovery, in BarnesandNoble.com, Amazon.com. In your local bookstores. There's a movie coming out about my life. It's in the works. I have a television series that they're formulating where I travel the country, and follow 5 or 6 great talents and progress and watch them grow. So there's a lot of things going on and I'm very visible. I'm out there all the time. I'm just been so grateful. I love people and for some reason they keep calling me back. So I'm out there. You want to get a hold of Jerry Cooney? Please tune in.
Well, Jerry, it certainly has been fantastic having you as part of the show. So many things we'd love to get into with you. We hope you'll come back and join us again sometime. You're great.
Anytime you'd like to have me, I'm on to be my guest. I love your show. Thank you.
Thank you, Jerry.
Take care, Jerry. Merry Christmas. Happy holidays to you and your family. We look forward to catching up soon.
Keep in touch.
You too, my friend. Thank you. Bye now.
See you, Jerry. That's a great Jerry Cooney. Bob, when I started to read his book, so much about what he had to deal with as a child of an alcoholic father who was abusive. And he talked about that each one of his brothers, he and each one of his brothers had their own separate hiding place in the house because when he came home, they knew what was coming for them. It's heartbreaking. And some of the things, I mean, there's a story, Bob. He got attacked by a dog and, was really lucky to be alive because the dog bit him in the neck, not far from his jugular vein. There was no one to take care of him. He had to call a cab to get to the hospital while he's bleeding out. I mean, it's horrible, the stuff that Jerry dealt with as a kid. And to put together, you know, the life that he did and to get as far as he did, it's amazing, Bob.
It's a life full of irony, Chris. My roommate at Fordham University was from Huntington, Long Island. And it's not a well-to-do area. You would never think some things like this could happen on Long Island or whatever. But, and you know, it's just great to hear him and that he's doing well and he's conquered any demons. And, as you know, Chris, boxers, I've interviewed maybe 3 or 4 in the past. They're very hard to come by just because of the kind of lives they lead and the punishment they took. So when you have a guy like Jerry, that's doing well and, talking well, and it's just very, very, very refreshing. So we hope we can get him on again. You and I have a few more questions to ask.
Yeah, looking forward to that opportunity. All right, we've got our next guest, Rocky Blyer, hanging on the line. We're going to get to Rock right on the other side of this real quick station break.